The Truth News Network. From Salzburg to Collierville, Tennessee, Grand Island to Sevilla, Spain, Caribou Landing to Washington, D.C. Fighting the sour taste of lies by drawing off the sweet cream of truth. TNN, the Truth News Network, and your humble servant, Dan Newman.
You know, it's getting harder and harder to ferret out what's true and what's not. But we do that every day. We enjoy bringing you the truth at Truth News Network. It's really early to make a prediction about who's going to be the Democrat Party nominee for 2020 for president. Their party convention's still a year away. But it's not too early to begin the elimination process of those two dozen declared Democrats who long ago began the feeding frenzy that is American politics. Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, congressman, was the first to drop out of the race already. But there's plenty of room on the ex-candidate roll. But after it's all said and done, the convention floor has been swept clean of all the confetti and helium-depleted balloons after 6,500 delegates have formally nominated their candidate to run the 2020 Democrat ticket for president. Who will be the last man or the last woman standing? Before we get to that, and we will get to that in just a few moments, let's talk about the process. Isn't it crazy to watch the polls as they're released almost daily for the 2020 race? Let's be honest. No one has any real idea at this point who will win the Democrat Party nomination. Certainly no one has any idea who'll win the election. After all, it's not an absolute certainty yet that President Trump will even be in the race, though he has declared. But remember, in this political climate, nothing surprises anyone and anything can happen. So today, as we narrow the field of possible Democrat Party candidates for president, let's just simply start at the top of the list and we'll eliminate a few. Let's talk about Beto O'Rourke first. Conventional wisdom early on was that Beto would probably land the Democrat bid for the White House. That was based on the extremely close race he ran against Senator Ted Cruz for the U.S. Senate in Texas in 2016. It was shocking that he almost upset the incumbent, which catapulted him in the 2020 race. And those Texas race results garnered him millions of dollars early on for a presidential bid. But times, they do change. And then there's Uncle Joe. We all waited breathlessly to see what Joe Biden was going to do. He waited until late to put his toe in the water. Not surprisingly, when he did enter the race, he zoomed to the top of the polls. Though he has lost some ground in large part due to his own campaign trail gaffes and previous clouds left from numerous incidents in his ages-long Washington political career, he's still slightly in the lead in the polls today, at least. But many do not expect that lead to last very much longer. Let's look next at the duo, Bernie and Liz. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They both have that liberal star power and the history of being front and center on the Democrat national stage. That history and their name recognition has kept them close. But the pair seem to move further and further to the left. It seems that their doing so is eating away at whatever chances they may have had to represent Democrats next November. Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Mayor Pete hit with a splash, mostly because he is a new fresh face with no national political baggage. That's big nowadays and very unusual. His being gay with a husband certainly gave him instant support and credibility with the LGBTQ community. But his early success is also slowly eroded. He started with a big pot of cash. But as his popularity dwindles, so does his staying ability. I imagine the people of South Bend will be dealing with Mayor Pete on the local level again after the 2020 election. Next on our list is Spartacus. Cory Booker had a good shot in the race for two reasons. He's an African-American senator, and he's been in the national political spotlight for some time now. But several things have tripped him up. The first was his Spartacus moment when he falsely volunteered to be expelled from the Senate for his release of some confidential Senate documents during the Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings, when before his Spartacus speech, those documents, unbeknownst to him, had already been released to the general public. Secondly, the New Jersey senator exhibits a propensity for grandstanding on racial issues and seems to jump on every identity politics tidbit as they show up, seeming to be looking for an edge, any edge, to give him some credibility with a dwindling group of American supporters. Pretty sure he's out. So, who's left? At this point, based on debates, speeches, legislation that has been passed for those in Congress, and specific political positions, I simply put the remaining candidates in an other basket. I think none of those left have a real chance to upset President Trump. The Democrat National Committee knows it is senseless to spend the money that a 2020 race will cost, reportedly $1 billion or even more, to try to elect a candidate that simply has little or no chance to send Donald Trump packing. I think after these above, there's just a bunch of also-rans, except one. Who, oh, who could that be? Well, you sit tight. We're going to break away for just a moment. When we come back at Truth News Network, we're going to tell you who is going to represent the Democrat Party in 2020 against probably incumbent President Donald Trump. Don't you dare go away.
The Truth News Network.
What is Coca-Cola? Is it an excuse to get together? Since 1886, Coca-Cola has been passing on smiles from generation to generation. We've been giving kids scholarships, like the early birds and the all-nighters. And you get to enjoy what matters most. Coca-Cola. Drink up.
Out for some Lay's and you face a test. Which tasty chip will be the best? Sour cream and onion, smoky barbecue. Cheddar, sour cream, salt and vinegar too. You sample them all cause the crisp is so good on your lips. Yeah. You left your wallet at home, but now you have a new best friend.
The many flavors of Lay's chips. One taste and you're in love.
No identity politics, no political elitism. Read and hear the truth, always sourced from facts. Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
And we're making some real news here today. We're about to identify to you who we feel certain is going to represent the Democrat Party in the 2020 presidential election, just a little over a year away. Who is it going to be? Well, if you followed our deletion of the major candidates, you realize there was one name missing. So the cat's now out of the bag because our selection is, drumroll, Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat of California. Yep, the cat's out of the bag. Our pick to carry the Democrat banner in the 2020 presidential election is Kamala Harris. Now, before we get into this, let's talk about something. Mispronunciation of her name. We've heard three different versions, and we've been told by quote-unquote experts three different pronunciations of her name. Kamala, Kamala, and Kamala. So let me tell you which one we're going to use. We want to make sure this is not taken by anyone as any racial connotation. We are going to call her, pronounce her name the same way she does when she introduces herself. Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. Now, why are we picking her? Well, Democrats are in a tough spot looking for their candidate. All of those that have thrown their name in the hats espouse pretty much all the same liberal ideas. There aren't great differences among them, at least policy differences. Whoever they nominate must be able to defeat Donald Trump. Harris is hardcore. She's confrontational. She never hesitates to take on any and all opponents. And she despises Donald Trump. Democrats feel she will not back down from the president and can go toe-to-toe with him on pretty much every issue. She toes the Democrat Party line. I mean right down the line. While many who are running differ with the party on one issue here and one issue there, Senator Harris is right in line on pretty much all the Democrat Party policy issues. She's of mixed race, which is proving to be a plus for candidates more and more often. Her father is Jamaican, and her mother is Indian. That's not Indian as in Native Indian, but Native Indian from India. While she's not African American, she certainly is a woman of color, which gives her an ethnic benefit over that old white guy. She's an excellent speaker, and she's delivered almost uncountable speeches while an attorney, a state politician, California Attorney General, and a U.S. Senator. That's going to help her tremendously on the national stage, and it already is. Don't forget, she's a woman. That's right. That linked with her race and legal background and communication skills fit pretty well with her party's plans. And this one you may not have heard about or even thought about. She has the Obama machine in her corner. No, the Obamas have not come out in support of any candidate yet, at least formally. But there are details already leaked that they are in support of Harris and are prepared to put that significant machine behind the senator. In a bitter political race that this is certainly going to be, having the financial, political, and fully resourced organization that shocked the world twice, sending Barack to the White House twice, has twice been insurmountable. The Obamas, they're going to be a significant source for Harris in many ways. And the last thing we're going to mention here, I mentioned it just a moment ago, but it's such a big deal. We've got to mention it again. This is a big plus in her corner. She's a she. That cannot be minimized. There are numerous Americans, especially women, who feel the nation owes its people a female president. Female voters outnumber male voters. That cannot be minimized in this race. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back tomorrow with part two of this story and bring you a whole lot of more evidence and information about Kamala Harris, what she's all about, and her history in politics. We're going to start today and finish today's story with 10 bullet point things you may or may not know about the senator. And again, these are very important things. You may not hear any of this from any other source other than Truth News Network. First, as both a district attorney and state attorney general, Harris pulled for a new statewide law that lets prosecutors charge parents with misdemeanors if their children are chronically truant. "We are putting parents on notice," she declared. "If you fail in your responsibility to your kids, we are going to work to make sure you face the full force and consequences of the law." Secondly, Harris strongly supports familial DNA searching, in which police take DNA samples from crime scenes and compare them to existing databases to look for not just any direct matches in criminal databases, but any familial matches. Police have gradually expanded the practice's reach from checking DNA collected against existing samples of convicted criminals to checking them against samples in the databases of genealogy websites and genetic testing companies like 23andMe and Ancestry.com. California allows the collection and preservation of DNA samples from anyone who is arrested, even if they're not charged with a crime. Now, that's going to have some intense legal challenges, I promise you. And then, Harris also has been a strong advocate of civil asset forfeiture. She supported a bill in California that would have allowed prosecutors to seize assets before initiating criminal proceedings, a power now available only at the federal level if there were a substantial probability they would eventually initiate such proceedings. Besides cases involving violent crimes, the legislation allowed seizures in cases involving such crimes as bribery, gambling, and trafficking endangered species. Harris endorsed the bill after then-Attorney General Eric Holder sharply limited civil asset forfeiture among federal prosecutors. She argued that the practice gave local and state law enforcement officials more tools to target the illicit profits of transnational criminal groups and dismantle these dangerous organizations. As San Francisco District Attorney, Harris created Back on Track, an anti-recidivism program that she expanded as State Attorney General. The program received $750,000 in federal funding and quite a bit of praise from crime policy experts. But it faced criticism early in its history when illegal immigrant Alexander Izigair, who had pled guilty to selling drugs, was selected and graduated, only to later grab a woman's purse and run her down in an SUV, severely injuring her. As the Los Angeles Times put it, Harris's office has been allowing Izigair and other illegal immigrants to stay out of prison by training them for jobs they cannot legally hold. Harris said she had been unaware that Back on Track had been training illegal immigrants and that they would no longer be eligible for the program. In 2012, she submitted a brief supporting an illegal immigrant's application for a law license. In 2014, the California Supreme Court ruled in the immigrant's favor, even though the California State Bar's rules state that it is disqualifying professional misconduct to commit a criminal act. Number six, in her first speech on the Senate floor, Harris declared, "An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal." She later avowed the belief that illegal immigration is a civil violation, not a crime. This classification applies to only a portion of those in the country without permission. First, entering the country illegally has criminal penalties. Overstaying a visa is considered a civil violation, not a criminal one, with deportation as the appropriate penalty. But re-entry without permission after deportation is a crime, as is, in most cases, working in the U.S. without legal residency, since it almost always involves some falsification of documents or lying on work forms under penalty of perjury. Number 7 out of 10. Harris's reputation as a tough prosecutor has played a key part in her political rise, and she continues to tout the high rate of felony convictions on her watch. But in 2010, SF Weekly reviewed the work of her office and concluded that felony convictions for cases that actually go to trial and reach a jury verdict, a comparatively small group that nevertheless includes some of a district attorney's most violent and emotionally charged cases, have declined significantly over the past 2 years. The review found that in 2009, San Francisco prosecutors won a lower percentage of their felony jury trials than their counterparts as district attorney's offices covering the 10 largest cities in California. And San Francisco's rate dropped further in the first quarter of 2010. Harris's 71% conviction rate on felony cases had been boosted by a significant increase in pretrial plea agreements. Those count if they plead to a felony in pretrial. Those count as a felony conviction. Number 8, in October of 2017, Harris declared she would rather shut down the government than vote for a spending bill that did not address the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, that's better known as DACA, the program, and ensure those covered by the program would not be deported. "I will not vote for an end-of-year spending bill until we are clear about what we are going to do to protect and take care of our DACA young people in this country," she said. And she has kept her word, at least so far. Number 9, in April of 2018, Harris urged the Senate Appropriations Committee to reduce federal funding for beds in the federal immigration system, reject calls to hire more Border Patrol personnel, and reduce funding for the administration's, in her words, reckless immigration enforcement operations. Number 10, in 2010, a California Superior Court judge declared that as San Francisco District Attorney, Harris had violated defendants' rights by hiding damaging information about a police drug lab tech and was indifferent to demands that the lab account for its failings. The crime lab technician had been convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence in 2008. District attorneys are obliged to hand over to the defense information about prosecution witnesses that could be used to challenge their credibility. Prosecutors' failure to disclose that information about the technician led to the dismissal of more than just a few, 600 drug cases. You know, there are many more things America needs to know about Senator Harris. In part two of this story, Truth News Network will give you 10 more things about Harris few know and that are very important as the Democrat race tightens and candidates begin to take a bow out of the race. Back up at the 10,000-foot level, we all need to understand that without question, the 2020 presidential election may be the most important presidential election of this century. It will speak volumes to this generation and several to come about whether the greatest country on earth will abandon the foundation principles that allowed the creation and perpetuation of that title, the greatest country on earth, for 200 plus years, and become and also ran socialist model of some combination of that from several European countries. Many scoff at this idea, but we must not make that mistake. A generation or two of our nation's educators have filled the minds of corresponding generations in age of young Americans with untruths about capitalism and our representative republic. Let me just make this very clear. The United States is not a democracy. We're not a federal democracy. We're not a representative democracy. We are a representative republic. And if you don't understand or know the differences, in chapter 2 of this, we'll define those for you. The United States is a representative. That explains why so many of those young people are marching for free speech while demonstrating and rioting against actual proponents who attempt to trumpet the values and benefits of the First Amendment by speaking at those rallies. The paradox of that very chapter in American history illustrates how our teenagers and young adults are acting on what they have been taught and summarily reject the tenets of our social, economic, and judicial foundation without even knowing the facts. Where do they get their facts from? Well, outside their classrooms and from their educators, they go to social media. Who controls social media? Liberals, bent on socialism in the United States. It's scary, folks. And there's more. Make sure to come back tomorrow. We'll give you those other 10 facts about Senator Kamala Harris that most don't know, and we'll discuss in detail some of her political policies she's trumpeting that probably are going to take many aback. And so, until tomorrow, for the second part of Who's Gonna Represent the Democrats Against the Republican Nominee for President in 2020. Until we get back together for that, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. So long, everyone.
We don't tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.